for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 26th, 1999. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the morning.
Praise God. Turn to Genesis. Hope you have your Bibles. I can't believe people would come to places where they teach the Word and don't bring their Bibles. How many know we need the Word of God with us all the time? Wherever we're at. Chapter 45. I want to touch on Joseph a few minutes, and then maybe Benjamin, but we'll see how that goes. How many know that Joseph is a picture of Jesus, and he's a picture of the overcomers? Anybody want to be an overcomer? Anybody been overcome in some areas? Anybody overcome in some areas? Praise the Lord. Genesis 45, verse 7. Joseph, let me tell you what his name means first. His name means to add or to continue a thing. Now, when Joseph was born, that's exactly what his name meant, because to add means there was going to be another son even after Joseph. And we know that his mother had a hard time having children. And once Joseph was born, it was a prophetic word that she would have another one. God would add another son. How many know that's prophetic? How many thank God for the prophetic ministry? We need prophetic ministry today, don't we? All of us. And so here in chapter 45, verse 7, Joseph knew his purpose in the earth. And God is showing us our purpose as we grow in the Lord. And God sent me. Oh, I like that. Not by board, not by church system, but God sent him. How many know there's a difference in God sent and Pop and Mama sent?
Amen.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity or a remnant in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Well, let me tell you, God's raising Joseph up today.
Hallelujah.
And God is raising up a remnant. And God is going to bring great deliverance throughout the earth. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And truly a deliverer shall come out of Zion. We sang that this morning. How many know Jesus is our deliverer today? And Jesus is going to use a people. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither. How many know that his brethren hated him and put him in the pit? He said, I want to tell you something right now. It wasn't you that got me down here. God did it. How many know God will reverse every circumstance and every situation for his glory? Can you say amen? It may look gloomy and doomy, but I'll tell you, he can turn it for our good. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He knew the dealings of God. He saw the dealings of God. He understood the dealings of God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now look in chapter 50. In chapter 50, look in verse 19. It says here Joseph is speaking to his brethren. It said, and Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. Not only did God send him, but he knew he was in the place where God put him. Hallelujah. Do we know today that God's sending us? Do we know today we're in the place where God would have us?
Hallelujah.
That's very important, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. You know, sometimes man will misjudge you and say, think you're in the wrong place or you should be doing something greater or something different. But how many of you have heard from God, you stay right where you are. Don't be moved by what men think. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But as for you, you thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph was not a destroyer. He was a preserver of life.
Right.
And that Joseph people God's raising up will preserve and not destroy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you know, he was not a complainer. Joseph never complained. He was a forgiver. He always forgave. Didn't he? How many know that we need not be a complainer either, and yet we are many times.
Yes.
And yet we must forgive. Not only, we must forgive our brethren's trespasses as God forgives ours. Isn't that right? Verse 20 again, they'll read it. But as you thought evil against me, God meant it to good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you, your little ones, and be comforted, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now verse 26. And Joseph died being 110 years old. He was the same age as Joshua. They both lived 110 years of age. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a what? What did he put him in? A coffin in Egypt. How many know Joseph saw a resurrection down the road?
Yes.
He said, don't leave my bones here. Take my bones with you.
Yes.
And you know the word coffin? Did you know where the word coffin is the same word for the ark in the Old Testament? Same word. And so they put him in a coffin, they embalmed him, took his bones, of course, out of Egypt. And he was in that, probably that first resurrection that came out after Jesus rose from the grave, probably.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the seven things that was given to Joseph here in the Old Testament in Egypt. He was given a ring. He was given authority by Pharaoh. Of course, we know God allowed this. He was second in command. He was given vestures of fine linen. His raiment was changed. How many believe God is changing our raiment? Now, I'm talking about the inward man now. I'm not talking about this outer garment. God is changing. God is doing a work within us. Praise the Lord. What a message there is. I've taught so much on the raiment of the Lord and that which God has given us. Number three, he was given a gold chain. The chain around the neck speaks of the will. God did a work in his will. I mean, gold speaks of divine nature. God wants to do a work in your will today, in my will. Somebody say amen. And then he was given a chariot. He rode in the chariot behind Pharaoh. Praise God. I imagine it was a nice one, new one,
yeah.
A shiny one. You know? Hallelujah. And then he was given a wife, number five, an Egyptian wife, too. And number six, he was given a new name. And then that name, which I won't get into that today, but that name meant the power of life and death. It had other meanings as well. It's mentioned in Genesis 41. Let's just look over in chapter 41, verse 45. 41, 45. Yeah, here it is. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And gave him, oh, what a name. And gave him a wife as well, there it says, in the land of Egypt. And so that name, one of the names means the power of life and death. It also means Savior. It means a lot of things. And then the seventh thing he was given, of course, was rulership. The second in command there in the land of Egypt. Now, in Joseph's life, there was three strippings. How many has ever been stripped? Would you raise your hand?
Yeah.
Some areas? Amen. God sometimes allows strippings, doesn't he? For our benefit. Joseph was stripped by his half-brethren, put in a pit. And how many know that they hated Joseph? They envied Joseph. They plotted against Joseph. They wanted to destroy this half-brother. They stripped him. They cast him in that pit. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Remember that story? And so his brethren just didn't like him. They were jealous of him. And then the second stripping was when he was in the house of Potiphar. How many know that Potiphar's wife was after Joseph? And he fled from her presence and got away from her. How many know when you say no to sin the first time, it's easier to say no to the second time?
Yeah.
And Joseph ran. You can't build any kind of wall big enough to keep temptation out. Come on, you can't wait and say, well, now, wait a minute, just a minute, I've got to get the armor of God on. How many know we better have it on? And so Joseph ran from that situation and left his garment behind. You remember that? He had integrity. There was holiness. There was righteousness. But look in chapter 39, verse 9. Look in 39:9 of Genesis, please. Let's see what it says. 39:9. Listen to what he said. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee. Here he's talking about this situation. Because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew it was wrong, didn't he?
Yes.
And he ran from that situation. He was not going to get involved with another person, especially a married woman. And he ran out of the house and left his garment behind. So that was the second stripping. Then there was a third stripping. What was the third stripping? It's when he came out of prison and he shaved and put on clean garments and stood before Pharaoh. That was the third stripping. 30, 60, 100. Now look in Psalms 105. You know, brethren, Joseph truly went through strong tests. I mean, we're never to minimize anybody's testing. Because somebody, sometimes their testing is maybe stronger than yours.
Right.
Depending on the call of God. The greater the call, the greater the testing, the greater the provision is at stake. Psalms 105, 15. And here's what it says. Praise God. Saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man. This is God now. He sent a man before them. Even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. How many see that? The Hebrew, I think, says his soul entered into the iron. This thing became part of him. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes. How many know we have that power today?
Yes.
To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators or elders wisdom. So Joseph stood before Pharaoh, and he became second in command. Somebody said it this way. How many know he was also a favorite of his father? Somebody said it this way. He was pitted by his father. He was pitted, put in the pit by his half-brothers. He was potted in the house of Potiphar, and he was put on the throne. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph, I mean, he was a dreamer. That's what got him into trouble. Look in Genesis 37. How many believe we need some dreamers today?
Yeah.
Visionaries. Come on, somebody say amen. And so we need really Holy Ghost dreams, visions from God.
Yes.
That would help all of us, that would help the body of Christ. And you know, brethren, again, I want to say the greater the promise that God gives you, the greater the problem you're going to go enter into, because it's more in the provision. Now, to come into the provision or what God's promised, you've got to come through principles called faith and patience. How many know that's something we all need more of? In Genesis 37, verse 3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more. Look at that word, more. More than all his children. Would you say he's partial to Joseph?
Yes.
Because he was the son of his old age.
Yes.
How many know in your old age, sometimes you have a little more patience towards your children. And love, maybe, and all those things. Sometimes I wonder if I got any. Okay. He made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. And he could not speak peaceably to them. And Joseph dreamed a dream. When you're hated, start dreaming. Right? Hallelujah. He dreamed a dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, it's one thing to have a dream. It's another thing to tell your brethren the dream. Sometimes we open our mouth too quick, don't we? We tell our dreams too quick. Is that true?
Right.
How many has ever done that? Amen. All of us. Now, he tells the dream. He goes and tells the dream. Look down to verse 10. He told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to them, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth? His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So he was a dreamer of dreaming. Now Joseph was the 11th son. 11 is a number of confusion. Let me tell you what the first thing a dream and vision from God will do. It'll confuse you. You'll not understand it. Somebody say amen. How many has ever had that experience too? You will not experience. And you know it's very dangerous to have a dream and interpret your own dream or vision. Because we, a lot of times, we sit the way we sit. But how many know it's good to have someone that really moves in visions and dreams to help you? Isn't that right? We need that minister in the church, don't we, brother?
Yes.
Now, look in 37:1. Look at 37:1 here. I think it's 37:2. Notice, Joseph was 17 years of age when he began to be hated of these brethren. So his testing began at 17. It's a young age. And then in Genesis 41:46, we see something else here with this age. 41:46, it says, Joseph was 30 years when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. From 17 to 30 is 13 years. What's 13 number of?
Rebellion.
How many know if you're going to be in the first fruits, the overcoming group in this end time? 144,000, two witnesses, man, child, there's all kind of names you can talk about. If you're going to be in the sons of God, how many know God's going to purge us from all rebellion? He's going to do it His way. Just like He did in Joseph's life. He's going to do it in your way and my, His way in your life and my life. And so he was 30. Who was 30 when he began his ministry in the New Testament? Jesus. A picture of Jesus. Okay? David was 30 when he was anointed with the third anointing. So he's a picture of the Lord here. Praise God. Now, this coat that was given to him by his father, it was made. It was a coat of many colors. Now, many believe it was seven colors, although I can't prove that. Seven colors of the rainbow. It was also a priestly coat, which meant he was actually the priest of the family. And that's why the brethren hated him also. It was royalty. It spoke of birthright. And it spoke of the seven spirits of God. How many thank God that His fullness is going to come into a people in this end time?
Hallelujah.
How many believe that?
Amen.
Let's go to Revelation a minute, chapter 5. Look at the scripture here. And chapter 5, look at verse 6. It says in verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Now, you know, you have people before the throne, around the throne, but this is in the middle of the throne. This is the very midst of the throne. And how many believe that God wants to take us to the very middle of the throne? I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Notice the lamb was slain, but he's standing. How many know he's resurrected? Hallelujah. How many thank God Jesus rose? And then it says, having seven horns and seven eyes. Horns. Now, horns speaks of power and authority. Horns also speak of people in the Old Testament. But here it's all power, all authority, and all seeing eyes, all seeing. How many believe that God sees everything at once around the world?
Yes.
Amen. There's nothing hidden in His sight. Do you believe that? Amen. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth where?
All the earth.
Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the seals of God being let loose in the earth. And as the seals are being let loose, God's fullness, the seals are mysteries, the mysteries of God.
Yes.
And as the mysteries of God are being let loose in the earth, God's fullness is coming to the earth. And how many know it's coming into this earth as we grow in the Lord? Isn't that right? I'm not saying we're there. Don't misunderstand me. But God's fullness is coming to His people in the earth. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to be one of those that have the fullness of Christ in them, wouldn't you?
Hallelujah.
But we have to grow into it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
It's not automatic. Praise the Lord. How many think God has given you today the garment of salvation? But don't stop there. There's the robe of righteousness. I mean, one's free. It's imputed to you. It's a gift. It's by grace, through faith. It's by the blood. And the other must be attained. Oh, one's for justification, one's for sanctification. There's a lot we could go into there. And so, this one was slain, Jesus. And yet, He has all power. He has all authority. And He sees everything. Praise God. All perception, all insight, all discernment. And yet, He said that was coming into the earth. Somebody say, where we're at now? We're at the time of the opening of the sixth seal. And I believe the sixth and seventh seal will be quick, personally. That's just my opinion. I don't know how Glenn sees that, but I say it's going to be quick. The sixth seal will be destruction. The sixth seal, God is going to bring the pride of man down.
Yeah.
How many believe we got some pride in us need to go today, too? Come on, somebody say amen. We need to repent of pride. I remember Irma preached on pride one time up here at the pulpit. And she came down and said, get this pride out of me. So, well, we all have it, and we all have to get rid of it. Come on, it's Leviathan, isn't it?
That's right.
The Spirit. Praise God. All right, now, let's go back over the New Old Testament. Look in Genesis 49. Let's look at some characteristics of this man, Joseph, which I believe is a blessing, as we see it in the Scripture, chapter 49, I believe it is. Chapter 49, verse 22. Now, Joseph is speaking about each one of the sons before he dies, and he talks about Joseph, and he said, number one, that Joseph is going to be a well. In verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, number one. And then he said he's also a fruitful bough by a well. Hallelujah. Whose branches run over the wall. How many know that's a well of living waters ministry, would say?
Yeah.
Isn't it good to be under people who have some well water in them?
Yeah.
Come on. Who have the river flowing in and through them? Who have the river of life from God? Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it says something else here in verse 23. Look at verse 23. The archers, now here's ministries, have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Of course, that was his half-brethren as well. But there are ministries that hate other ministries. Do you know that? I don't like to say that. But there's other people hate ministries. Now, listen to me. How many know that you can... I'm going to say two things first. How many know that you can be saved, be filled with the Holy Ghost, have gifts of the Holy Spirit in you, have fellowship in churches, and have a wonderful time? But if you've got things in your soul, when tribulation breaks out, most of the time you'll not stand. Did you hear what I just said? Secondly, how many know you can be identified with preachers and people who have a nominal message? Is that right? But when you get out of the nitty-gritty of deliverance and where we are at this end time, there ain't going to be a rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm sorry to tell you, it's just not going to be. When you really get out to the nitty-gritty and tell people the truth, how many know that not everybody's going to stand with you?
That's right.
How do I know? I've been there. Now, let me tell you something. We must stand first with Jesus, right?
Yes.
We know He'll stand with us. But secondly, we must be identified with those that He's called as well. Is that true? You know, Timothy was identified with Paul. As a son with the father, things were imparted to this young man from Paul by the Spirit. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You remember that scripture? You know what he's saying? I have no other one. He was actually saying, Timothy's like me. And he saw in Timothy that quality God put in him. How many know there's some people, all they care is about themselves? They don't care about people.
Right.
Come on, don't shout me down. And so we must be identified first with Jesus, but we must be identified with others. Now, Paul said at one time, all men forsook me. Remember that scripture? Let me give you another one. Look in 2 Timothy 4. How many know it hadn't been easy for Glenn and Irma in this place? Come on. It's been a great separation over the years. Isn't that right? 2 Timothy 4. And probably some people they thought was with them and was close to them over the years. How many know that sometimes a separation takes place? 2 Timothy 4:14. Well, look at verse 10, first of all. Here's a man that left Paul. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can you imagine leaving the Apostle Paul with all the truth God gave this man? The world got him. Something was in his heart. Now, look down to verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, not my works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he greatly hath greatly withstood our words. This is the gang sang spirit. This is the Antichrist spirit. He stood against the preaching that Paul preached that God gave him. And just because you have truth don't mean people's going to receive it. In fact, Paul told the church of Galatia, he said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? At one time, they would pluck their own eyes out for him. But they stood against the truth. Now, listen to what he says. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men did what? Forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. How many know Paul was forgiven? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching, by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Who's that? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and shall preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory and ever. Amen. Praise God. How many know that's a wonderful scripture? It's a wonderful scripture. Praise God. And so, I want to give you another scripture if I can find it here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's a man that was identified with Paul. I'll show in just a minute. But look in verse 15. Here's some people that left him also. 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Then he names a couple of guys here. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Notice oft. That means oftentimes. And was not ashamed of my chain. When Paul was a prisoner, this man was not ashamed of Paul. He stood with Paul. He blessed Paul. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Hallelujah. Identification with Jesus. Identification with those who know the Lord. Amen? Praise God. How many believe that Joseph felt like he was a loner for many years? You ever felt like that? Huh? How many know that you can feel that way? Of course, sometimes we have to deal with our feelings, don't we? But sometimes people do leave us. Sometimes people get away from us, and we just have to go on. Isn't that true? And so Joseph was a well of water. He was life, a life ministry. Now let's go back to Genesis and see something else here that his father said of him in Genesis 49 and verse 23. 49:23. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 49:23. All right, it says, the archers, this is the other ministry, shot at Joseph and hated him. So he's a hated man. There's people shooting at him. I got bows and arrows. And then notice also in verse 24. But his bow abode in strength. I mean, Joseph's not going to miss. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. How many know that we don't fight fire with fire, though, do we? Come on, amen? When they were shooting at him, it says here that his bow was made strength. Was a boat in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From whence is the shepherd, the stone, notice the stone, the rock of Israel. I mean, it's time to put our hand in the rock too today. Hallelujah. He'll strengthen you in the situation you're in. You may be being shot at, shot down, come on. But God will stand with you. Is that true? He'll stand with you, my brother. Praise God. And then you'll notice in verse 26, it said, well, let's look at verse 25. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven. So when you're being shot at, God's blessings come in your way. Hallelujah. Above, it says, blessings of the deep that lieth under, the blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Praise God. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. So he was a separate man. He was a separate person, even from his brethren. But there's one other part I want to bring out here. Go back in this chapter here. And let's look at it. We read it earlier. Look up in verse 22. It said, whose branches run over the wall. Now, how many know you can't keep Joseph behind walls? Is that right, Brother Robert? How many believe God's able to destroy every wall in our life? Yes. Amen? Amen? How many feel you got some walls today that needs to be destroyed? Amen. God is a destroying wall. Well, he'll destroy every wall you got. Praise God. Now, You can't keep that ministry down. You can't keep it locked behind walls. It's man's system many times. I mean, oh, there's creeping vines and there's climbing vines. A creeping vine is one that stays on the earth. You try to put it up, you know, hang it up, it'll go right back down to the earth. Isn't that right? A climbing vine, you try to keep it down, it's going to climb over a wall or wherever it may go. Is that true? How many of you got two natures in you? You got an old man, you got a new man. One's earthbound, come on, one's heavenbound. Isn't that right? You cannot keep Joseph behind walls very long. He's going to break out somewhere. He's going to leap over those walls. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, today maybe you need to leap over some walls in your life and my life as well. And God will help us, amen, to do that. Praise God. Now, you know, Saul sought to kill David one time. Remember that? And how many know the spear landed in a... He was going to nail him to the wall, actually. And David got out of his presence. And there are people who want to nail you to their wall, to their system. But you know what? Even though Saul tried to do that to David, you know what happened to Saul when he died? He was nailed to a wall. The very plans of the enemy, how many know God can turn it back on their head? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look in Genesis 39:20. I want to show you how God prospered Joseph. You know, after he had said no to this lady and ran out of her presence and would not commit adultery and do those things that God didn't want him to do, you think, boy, God should bless him now. You know, God's going to bless this man. Well, how many know he wasn't blessed at that time? He went to jail. He went to prison. 39:20. And Joseph's master took him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. If you live righteous and holy and clean before God, listen, God's going to be with you. I don't care where they put you. They put you in a dungeon. How many know you can't keep God out? Come on, somebody say amen. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor, hallelujah, in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. He recognized the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You can prosper right in jail. Prosper wherever you are. And I'm not saying you're going to have gold and silver and all that stuff. I mean, if God wants to do that, how many of you can do that too? But God, prosperity is more than money, isn't it? It's having God's blessings. Can you say amen as well? Look in Deuteronomy 23. Here's a scripture about Joseph. Hallelujah. Chapter 23:13. 23:13, I believe it is. I think it's a scripture I want. May not be. Chapter 33. Verse 13. And of Joseph he said, by the way, there's a tribe left out of here, Simeon. Simeon means hearing. Wasn't mentioned in here by Moses. His father mentioned Genesis 49, but it wasn't mentioned here. But hear about Joseph. Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious... How many see the word precious here? And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwell in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. We saw that a while ago. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock. His horns, now there it is now. His horns are what? Like the horns of a unicorn. With them he shall push the people together to the end of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, which means double fruit. And they are the thousands of Manasseh. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we saw a while ago in Revelation 5, didn't we? That horns spoke of power and authority. Praise God. And so Joseph here, it talks about his horns, talks about the power and the authority, really, that God was putting in him. And I believe this is a picture, again, of the sons of God, the ministry of the sons of God here, going to be energized by the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, of the fullness of Christ at the end of the age as well. Hallelujah. So he was the firstborn one of his mother. Turn to Genesis 48. I want to show you this. How many want the firstborn blessing? How many know that, that was the double portion, the right of the firstborn? It was the prophetic ministry. It was a priest ministry. I mean, there's a lot of things involved with that firstborn. But here in chapter 48, verse 21, his father told him here, and Israel said to Joseph, notice it didn't say Jacob, it said Israel. I mean, he's a new, there's a new nature now, isn't there? Speaking. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. My, that's enough right there, isn't it?
Yes.
And bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. Well, how many of one above is two? Is that right? Which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And I have a little booklet back there on the Amorite. I have a few left on the table back there. But he said here, I've given that portion above thy brethren to you, Joseph. Praise God. Which is the double portion. Now turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21. Let's look at this portion of the firstborn here. Deuteronomy 21, 15. Deuteronomy 21, 15. If a man have two wives, I pity him if he does, one beloved and another hated. Now look at that. Beloved and hated. I mean, you can see that in Sarah and the maid. Is that right? And they have borne him children, both of them. Both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn, but the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. How many know that Jesus was hated, despised, and rejected of men? How many know Jesus was the firstborn? How many know we've come to the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12 says? And that means the firstborn ones. There's a portion of the firstborn in each one of us. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. And so notice the phrase here, though. The son of the beloved firstborn, which the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren. God's raising up the firstborn in this hour. It's going to be hated. It's going to be rejected and despised as Jesus. Whether we know it or not, it's going to happen. So for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. Now what did Elisha want before Elijah went back to heaven? He wanted the right of the firstborn, and Elijah knew, that he'd ask a hard thing. You remember that? Is that true? And so there is a portion of the firstborn. There is the double portion that God wants to give his people, even in this hour. Those sons, those overcomers, praise God. The right of the firstborn. And so Joseph had that. Amen. And he was blessed by God. Hallelujah. Now Joseph, when Joseph was born, listen to this now. He removed Rachel's reproach when he was born. I mean, she was. Look in chapter 30 of Genesis. You'll see this. Jacob got mad at her. In chapter 30, verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. I mean, this was a strong thing in her. Huh? But when Rachel gave birth to Joseph,
That reproach was taken away.
But how many know there's another woman getting ready to give birth to a child? Revelation chapter 12. The bride of Christ is going to give birth. How many know there's a lot of reproach on the bride of Christ today? But God's going to remove it once the child is born. The overcomers. Amen? Hallelujah. Joseph went to prison. But how many know he came out of prison? Sold for 20 pieces of silver. Became the bread of life, exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. How many know the Lord was sold for money? Hallelujah. How many know he went and preached to the prisoners in prison after he went into the paradise area? He came out of prison, didn't he? Where's he at today, brethren? Come on. He's at the right hand of the Father. Can you say amen? So let me say this here. I've said some of these things, but I want to say it again. Joseph was favored by the Father. He had a vision of the throne of God. He refused the harlot, was cast into prison. He interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, which I didn't get into today. Pharaoh's dream, he interpreted that and exalted the second place in Egypt. Joseph proved his brethren. It's a long story. We could get into some of those things. And, of course, Benjamin was revealed to him, the full brother. The cup was in the sack of Benjamin. How many know the Lord's put a silver cup in some of our sacks? Amen? Joseph revealed himself, of course, and his God to the brethren. And then, of course, we know that Jacob and his family came to Egypt. Joseph took care of the family and so forth. We know he was the son of the last day of his father because his father was an old man when he was born. He was hated by his half-brethren. They couldn't see the throne. He was a dreamer, a visionary of the throne. Again, he was stripped that we went into today. He was kept in prison. And, of course, he was king of the prisoners. And he interpreted dreams and visions. He was a revealer of secrets. Oh, I like that. And we know then he took the throne, praise God. And then he was manifested to his brethren. But now let's go to a few other things here just a minute. I want to go over to back in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 30. And look at verse 24. Now when Joseph was born, now look at verse 23. This is what Rachel said. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. That's what we just mentioned. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me, what? Come on.
Another son.
Now, how many know we'll never take the place of Jesus? We'll never be the exalted, preeminent one as Jesus. But how many know Jesus is the Son of the living God today, truly? But yet he's raising up a son in his image and likeness. Can you say amen? Anybody want to be in that sons of God group? That remnant. Amen? Now, it was said here that the Lord shall add to me another son. Hallelujah. So that was prophetic. Now, Benjamin was the only son of the 12. Born to the father who had a new nature. Benjamin was born to Israel, not just to Jacob. The new nature. How many thank God today for the new nature?
Amen.
The new man. And in Genesis 35, I want to show you something. For Benjamin to be born, it cost his mother her life. Didn't it? And there's a story behind that, which I won't go into today. Look in verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. What does Bethel mean, brethren? Come on. The house of God. The house of God. House of bread. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Ephrath was Bethlehem. How many know Jesus was born where? And here is the son Benjamin being born at that place. It means a fruitful place. And Rachel travail. How many of the church is going to have to travail? Revelation 12, verse 2. To bring forth the overcomers. Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. How many of some of you women that's in this place probably know what that means? In the natural. But how many know it's not the natural labor and heart a travail today that's going to make it? Come on, the travail today is going to be in the Spirit. Isn't that right? And in the soul of the church, God's going to bring forth. He's put that seed. He's going to bring forth that overcomer. Praise God. And so, hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife. Now, here's a prophetic ministry. Here's the ministry that was blessed by God back when Pharaoh was killing all the baby boys. Remember that? They stood for God. They wouldn't kill those babies. And God gave them homes to live in. And yet, here's a prophetic minister. The midwife said to her, "Fear not." And the midwife is that minister that cuts away the flesh. How many know we need some of that in church today? We need some of our flesh cut away, don't we, Robert? "Fear not." Here's what they said. "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." There's a prophetic ministry. It had already been spoken, spoken again. God in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Come on, every word shall be established, right? "It came to pass, as her soul wasn't departed, for she died." How many know the Bible never teaches soul sleep? Did you hear what I said? Your body goes to that grave, but come on, that inward part of you didn't go to that grave. "Her soul was in departing." Her soul left. Is that true?
Yes.
"For she died." How many know we have to die to ourselves? "And she called his name Benoni," which means son of sorrow. But Jacob heard that and he said, "No, it'll never be that. It's going to be Benjamin, the son of the right hand." Hallelujah. And I tell you, God's raising up the sons of the right hand today.
Hallelujah.
But it's going to take a death of the church. Amen? The woman in hard travail to bring forth those sons. Don't you think the devil's going to give up? Come on, he's going to do everything he can to try to stop and abort that child from coming forth. But he can't do it. I mean, too long, we've had Ishmael coming forth in the church instead of Isaac. We need the son of promise, come on, to come forth in this end time. And he will come forth because God has spoken it. Can you say amen? Seven women barren in the Scripture. Sarah was barren. Rachel was barren. Elizabeth, in the New Testament, was barren. Rebecca was barren. Samson's mother, which we don't know her name, was barren. Hannah was barren. And the last one was the church. The last was the church. The last one was the church, been barren. Amen? But God's going to bring forth, come on, that man child. Now look in chapter 42 of Genesis. Chapter 42, verse 2. "And he said, Behold, I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down hither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and" what? Come on. "Not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. You see, he thought Joseph was dead, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to let this happen to my second son. And so he keeps him there. Now, he was very close to the son. Look in chapter 44. And look at verse 30. This is what one of the brethren said, I believe, to Joseph here. But look at 44:30. You talk about a soul tie. Here's a soul tie. And it's a good soul tie. "Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life or his soul is bound up in the lad's soul or life." That's a soul tie. Amen? Praise God. Now, look in chapter 42, verse 14. "And Joseph said to them," these were their half-brethren who didn't know him yet, "that it is that I spake unto you, saying, You are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh you shall go not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether that there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh surely shall you are spies. But he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said to them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be found in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn to the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so." Now, of all the brethren that Joseph had, how many know there was one he really wanted to see more than all? more than all. Isn't that right? And that was Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And I'm telling you, God is waiting and looking for these overcomers to come out, come forth. Amen? That when he appears, praise God, they're going to be like him. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Now look in chapter 43. Chapter 43. Look in verse 3 especially. And Judah said to him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us. That's Joseph. He's talking about Joseph, saying, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Now, you know, there's a lot of people reject the sons of God and the overcomers teaching in this hour. And they're all saying Jesus is going to come in a minute. Well, how many know Jesus is coming? He's coming first in us, and he's coming out in the air.
Yeah.
Amen? But the very ones, many times, that they're rejecting is the one that he is looking for. Is that right? Hallelujah. And he said, you're not going to see my face again unless Benjamin be with you. And those that reject you and me in this hour, whoever the overcomers are, they're not going to see Jesus. See Jesus. Come on. Until this people's raised up. Come on, somebody say amen. Now look in verse 29, chapter 43. It says, he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? He said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Then come down to verse 45. Chapter 45. Hallelujah. And here he's revealing himself to his brethren. And he tells them that he's Joseph. And that he, let's see, in verse 12. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And then if you go on down in the scriptures, in chapter 45, you'll see that he gives them, in other scriptures as well, he gives Benjamin five more pieces of raiment. He gives him five more portions of food. How many believe the overcomer is a hearty eater? You believe that? He really is. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, there's a lot more I could go into. Let's look at one more scripture. Look in Genesis 49, verse 27. 49:27. Here, speaking of Benjamin, the father says, Benjamin shall raven or prowl as a wolf in the morning. He shall devour the prey. But notice when? At night. How many know we're at the hour of the end? Darkness covering the earth, gross darkness of people. God's glory is rising upon a people as well. But at night he shall divide the spoil. And there's a message in that. He shall divide the spoil. That's the Benjamin ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he was called the son of sorrow, but the father said, no, he'll not be called that. He'll be called the son of the right hand. Hallelujah. And so, we know he was born in sorrow. He was born in travail. And it took the death of his mother. Now let's turn to Revelation for a few minutes. 10 minutes here or so and we'll be through. Praise God. Revelation 12. How many has ever read chapter 12 of Revelation? How many understand it? You got any questions? Just ask Robert. He's here today. He'll help you. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great sign or wonder. Where? In heaven. Now this heaven is impure, you know that. Because the dragon's there. I may believe we're in heavenly places too, and we should be above all principalities and powers. But that doesn't mean we don't have warfare. Is that right? Amen. It says here, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. The S-U-N. The one that rises with healing in his wings. Isn't that right? Malachi tells us. How many know we're married to the King of Light today? His name is Jesus. Amen? Notice, clothed with the sun. Clothed with Christ. Clothed with his covering. Clothed with his glory. Clothed with righteousness. I thank God today we're being clothed by Jesus. Man can't clothe you. Man can't cover you. The Lord's your covering. And the moon under our feet, the old order, the one that we've came out of. Anybody, you ever been in moon churches? I'm not talking about the moonies now. I'm talking about some dead, dry places. God, I think He's brought us all out of some of them. Amen? And so He said, the moon's under our feet. That's the old order of things. And what else? The crown of stars is upon her head. She's a queen. She's got a crown. Speaks of victory. Speaks of overcomings. Speaks of a lot of things. Rulership. Whatever. 12 stars. 12 is the number of the apostles. God's putting apostolic authority in the church today. Amen? We've exalted the pastor too much. I'm not against shepherds. Don't misunderstand me. We've exalted a man too much. Listen, God wants corporate shepherds. He wants corporate teachers. He wants corporate prophets. He wants corporate apostles. And so forth. To work together. Amen? I'm going to throw this out. I don't mean this. I go in some places. They don't want a, quote, pastor. Because they have, quote, shepherds. Okay? You go in other groups and how many know it's different. You can't go and change it. Come on, God's got to do it. He's going to change anything. Isn't that right? We try to change it. We get it all messed up, don't we? How many believe when God starts moving, though, it's going to also disrupt some lives and families, situations? Do you believe that? You know the word pastor is only mentioned one time in the New Testament? The word pastor. You know what the word means? Shepherd. We think of a pastor standing up here in a black suit, white teeth, black hair, preaching on Sunday morning. How many know there's a lot more to a shepherd than a pastor or shepherd than that? Isn't that right? That's part of it. Praise God. We need apostles. We need prophets. We need shepherds. We need teachers. We need evangelists. They'll work together. Can you say amen? And you know what? I believe God's going to do it for you before Jesus comes, don't you? Hallelujah. We don't need the apostle. Come on, exalt man or the prophet. Just walk in the door, everybody. No, we don't need that stuff. Come on, amen. We need the prophet. His name is Jesus. We need the apostle. His name is Jesus. Come on, amen. The shepherd, the teacher, the evangelist. It's Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, another sign. Behold, a great red dragon. A great red dragon. And the Lord told me one time, there's 4 churches here. Now listen, the man-child church, the bride church that brings forth a man-child, the moon church, and the dragon church. You ever read where he's called the synagogue of Satan over in Revelation? Having 7 heads and what? 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail, which is the false prophet ministry, drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, did cast into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be what? Delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, can you imagine this? At the time of the greatest move of God in the earth, when God's bringing forth His mighty people, His generals, His overcomers, some are falling out of the heavenlies at the same time. Some are in in apostasy. They're falling while others are moving up in God. It's going to happen. It is happening. He said, I want you cold or hot. If you get in the middle, how many of you got problems? Come on, somebody say amen. That tail, that false prophet ministry who lies, is causing people to fall today. And I could get into that. There's a lot I could say. And it's in the earth. It's in the United States. It's in the world. And so God is going to do something about it. But look at verse 5. She brought forth, come on, a man-child who was to rule or shepherd all nations with a rod of iron. Why didn't it say a staff? You know? Because this rule is in the spirit, not in the flesh. I may believe God's rulership is in the spirit. And they didn't take the staff of iron and beat people over the head. How many of you can't do that? Her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Now you say, what time is this? Let me tell you what the time is. It's the beginning of the tribulation. The beginning of the 3.5 years tribulation. Tribulation, not 7 years. It's 3.5 years. How many know we're in tribulation right now? We've been in tribulation many, many years. But we're coming up to the worst part. And when the worst part hits, God has His overcomers ready, prepared to meet it head on. Amen? And so this catching up to the throne doesn't mean physically. It was like John. John was taken to the throne. He was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was taken there in the Spirit. And God's Son, Jesus, walked on the earth, and yet He lived there with the Father, didn't He? On the throne. And that's what I'm talking about. There's the people walking here at that time on the earth, but yet they'll be there with God in the Spirit, in the throne. Somebody say amen. Now, that's not going to get us there just because we know that. How many know we have to press into God? We have to seek the Lord. If you want to be in the man-child, you say, God, I want to be in the man-child. I want to be an overcomer. What will God do? Let me tell you what He'll do. He'll send you fire. He'll send you fire. He'll send you testing and tribulations. And when you receive it and go through those things, hallelujah, He'll qualify us. The Lord's going to do it. We can't qualify ourselves, can we? The Lord will do it. Praise God. Anybody got a question of what we taught today? Yes, ma'am? Mm-hmm. The fire? Well, no, the greater the call, the greater the problem, and the greater the provisions at stake. Take Paul for an instance. Well, that means those things that God's promised you, like Paul. We'll take Paul. Look at all the things God promised Paul, his ministry, what all he would do. But He had to take him through the fire to get him to that place. That's what I'm saying. Okay? But Paul had to believe God, you see, as well, to get there. Otherwise, he had to believe God in faith and patience and all those things it took as well. See? Somebody else? Hallelujah. Right? Yes, sir. Wait.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Coming, of course, we're in that.
Sure.
You know, and
right.
Aware,
right.
What is the timeline of that?
On what now? What?
As far as the rapture?
I don't teach a rapture at all, as far as physically, like some people do. If there would be a catching, it would just have to be up to meet the Lord and back down. I don't see a going off someplace. I just don't see that from Scripture. But I really have a problem with the rapture, because if you look at the world, it's round. And if we're going this way, in Australia, they're this way. So, I mean, you know, if you're looking physically. But the thing is, the Lord's coming out to meet us. I mean, we're ascending to Him, and He's coming yet out to meet us, okay? And I see that more in the spirit than I do the physical. But if it's in the natural, it would be up to meet Jesus and come back, okay? It's going to be His way anyway, right? But I can tell you this from Scripture, it'll not happen before the tribulation. It will not happen in the middle of the tribulation. It's not going to be that way. I know for a fact. From what the Lord's told me and things. But the thing is, we have to be prepared for trouble that's ahead. And we can only do that as we press into God and get God in us and get us ready for those things that are coming. Now, I think next year is going to be a trying year. I may be wrong. Testing year, 2000. I'm not just talking about Y2K. But I believe we're going to begin to see some real travail and things happen in the church that we haven't seen, possibly. And so we have to just press into God, and we don't set dates. We don't set any of those things unless God would specifically speak. I mean, there are so many people have been wrong with dates. And even this year, people have come out with dates and think we have to be very careful. But we have to hear from the Lord. But I believe, Wade, that personally, I don't really teach a physical rapture. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
The word called up.
Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't literally mean, just like you
right.
prep something
right.
and catch it up. Caught up could be a spiritual word.
Right.
See, you get caught
right.
up in a thing.
Right.
You get caught up in a spirit.
Right.
So caught up does not mean right. that you're going to be
right.
snatched away.
Right. Well, look
it's
at John.
A spiritual thing.
John was caught up in the spirit.
Yes.
And yet
that's
he was on the earth.
That's
see?
What caught up means.
And that's what I see the man child. Now,
yes.
if God, well, anyway, that's good. Somebody else?
But in the air.
Yeah.
The word air, you check it out, it means breath.
Sure.
If you check out breath, it means spirit.
Right.
That's simply what Paul's saying, we're going to be caught up into the Spirit.
That's exactly right. I believe that's what it's saying, but, you know. Somebody else? John?
Yeah, just hear John what happened.
All right.
Time.
All right.
It says that right here in Psalms 89:14, it says, justice and judgment are the habitation.
Okay.
Mercy and truth shall go before thee. So it's at this time that God starts bringing forth justice and judgment on the earth. And without it, the earth will not be purged. And right. Before we can see the actual return of Christ, this earth is going to be have to be purged.
Yeah.
Because unless then, we cannot stand to look at Christ.
Right.
His fire, His radiance, the brightness of the glory of God will consume us.
Amen. Amen. Now, look in Acts 1 just a minute. Somebody, who else had your hand up? Somebody else had your hand up? Who did? Okay. Go ahead. Look, get my books back there. And I got a lot of tapes here, sister. I have probably 200 tapes here. So, okay. Let me read something and then I'll get back with you. Look in Acts 1. Look in Acts chapter 1. Now, let's just take one scripture, okay? You can take many scriptures. We could take Thessalonians, whatever. Look here in Acts 1. Look in verse 8. Verse 9, excuse me. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Literally carried up or lifted up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. How many know that wasn't a rain cloud? Okay, now look at this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This what? Same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in what? Like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now, where was Jesus standing? Mount of Olives. All right. When Jesus ascended, a cloud took him.
Yes.
Men saw him go. Now, he said in the same way, when he comes, men will see him come.
Yes.
He will come in the clouds. And I believe it's not only clouds of witnesses, but clouds of glory. And he will come back. Zechariah 14 says his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. Okay? It didn't say anything here about a rapture. Did it?
No.
And that's the thing. We major in rapture, not the coming of Jesus.
Right.
Okay. Somebody else. Sister, what would you?
About the robes of salvation and the robes of righteousness is gained through
The garments is freely given to us. That's the grace. That's by faith through grace, that's by the blood. It's a gift. But then the overcoming realm, the sanctification and all that we could go into to come into that robe of righteousness. Okay? Otherwise, he first gives us that imputed righteousness. Then there's righteousness that has to be worked into us. Okay? In our daily living. So there's, of course, he's going to do it. But we have to submit to him. One more question. Okay, sister.
Why is the rapture still being taught?
Well, it came into being many years ago, and Darby, Larkin, what's the other one? Schofield, and different ones, took that, Dake, and different ones.
Margaret McDonald.
Actually, the vision she had, how many of you ever read the vision Margaret McDonald had? And she was from where, Robert? But you know what? Her vision, I felt it was of the Lord, some of it, because you ever read it? That's the way they interpreted the vision. Okay? But anyway, ma'am, it's just one of those things. It's like a snowball coming down a mountain. But, you know, more and more people's getting in the Word of God themselves and studying the Word of God. Amen? But I can tell you one thing. He's not going to come before the trouble. I know that for sure. No, you're right.
It's the easy way out.
It's the easy way.
You go through nothing, just zap, you're gone.
That's it.
Flesh don't suffer.
That's right. Well, here in America, that's a good gospel to preach, we think, but it's not. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. We love you and appreciate you.
Thank you.
You know, let me listen. I can fellowship those who believe in a rapture as well as those who don't.
Yeah.
I can love them just... How many know that we're saved by the blood of Jesus?
Right.
And that's the main issue.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's praise Him. Handelabrokotai. Kila brahandele brekiara brosoyanda brahaya. Kitara braso kitara brasikatara brasianda brakaya. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have many things to say unto you in this hour, saith the Spirit. I have many things to show you and reveal to your heart. And as you are humble as a child, you come before me. I'll show you and I'll speak and I'll reveal my word to your heart, saith the Lord. For yea, it's not by the flesh, it's not by the carnal mind, it's by my Spirit in this hour. And I, the Lord God, shall speak through my apostles and prophets and my ministries in this hour. And I shall reveal and thou shalt behold great new truths and great things in the Lord. So thinking not strange concerning the fire trial is to try you. For you shall be tested. You shall be tested to the hilt, the Lord says. You shall be tested. But yet I shall not put more upon you than what you can bear. I will be with you. I shall be with you. And I shall take you through, saith the Lord. For I am your strong tower. I am your shield and buckler. I will be with you, saith the Lord. But know that the fire must come. Yea, there's gold in the fire. And I will put my nature in thee in this hour. And I shall change you, saith the Lord. So do not fret. Do not worry of that which comes your way. But yea, seek the Lord. Cry out to Him. And He will do the process. He will do the work, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Candela brasi, cara brasi, ara braco, tara brasita. Cara brasa, catara brasa, tara bracata. Candela brasi, catara brasi, catara brasitaia. Kila brasandela bracata, brasa. Let's pray for some changes in Washington. Kila brasa, catara brosola, brakitara brasaya. Lord, we pray for the great changes in Washington, D.C., Lord. Kila brasa, catara brosi, catara brasandela bracaya. Bring a change, Father. Bring a change there, Father God. Bring a change there, Father God. Oriandara brasi katatara brasa katatara rosoko tara brasaya. Handala brako yandala brasi kataya. Bring a change, Father. Bring a change, Father. Koriandala brasoko la brasi atara brosoko la brasi anda brahaya. In the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, we pray that you'd save the president. We pray truly for his deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Koriandara brasi katabrosola brekiandara brasi adabrakaya. Koli brekiandala brasoko tala brasi andabrakaya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, randara brasi katabrasi katabrasi.
Randola bakondalia sanda la batoria sodo rikama tolia tila bakondalia randola bakosanda kilo sanda.
Well, there are coming many changes, saith the Lord, even in Washington, D.C. There's coming many changes in thy nation, saith the Lord, very quickly. Yea, saith the Lord, I'm going to hasten the changes very soon. But be not fearful, be not frightened, for the Lord has spoken these things. I've spoken it through my prophets, I've spoken it through my apostles, and through my ministries. And yea, they must come to pass, even in this hour, saith God, very shortly. But know the great changes shall come, and it shall astonish many of that which I shall do, that which I shall say in this hour, saith the Lord. For I shall remove this one, I shall remove that one, and I shall raise up this one and that one, saith the Lord. But fear not, I, the Lord, am in charge. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, one time I had a vision of, I was prophesying, had a vision of President Clinton, and I saw a mark come down over his face. He is a marked man. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to put an interpretation on it. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to pray. I believe there's some changes getting ready to take place in the wind. The wind of the Spirit. Amen? Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. 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 Koriandara brasi katara brosoko tala brasia. Pray in tongues. Koriandara brasa katatara brosoko tara brasaya. Kila brakatatara brasa katara brosoko tara brasaya. Oriandala brasa katatara brasiandala brahandala brakataya. Oriandala brasa katatara brasa katala brosoya. Ile brikiandala brahandala brakatatara brasayandala brokoyandala brasitaya. Oh, Father, Father, Father God. Ikayada brasayanda brakaya. Celebrikita la brasaka tada brosoko tada brasianda brakaya. Ila brasika tada brosoko tada brasaya. Hayanda la brasaka tada brasika tada brasianda brakaya tada brasaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, koyanda la brasaya tada brasaya. Anybody has a prophetic word from the Holy Ghost, speak it out. Orianda brakatala brasandala brakatala brasiada brakatala brosoko ta brasaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hayata brasaka. Hayata brasata brakata. Kayata. Let's go on to rail again. Let's pray some more. Tira brasaka tala brosoko tara brasi katara brasaya. Candelabra cotala brasi catatara brosso cotara brasi catabrasa. Candelabra so cotala brasi catara brosso tai. Coriandela brasa catatara brasa yandara brocco tala brasi catara brasa. Ila bra catara brasso cotala brasi atara bracata. Kila brasa catala brasi atara bracco tara brasandela bracatara brosso tai. Handala brasaya, reveal, speak, Lord, to your servants.
There's no time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, says the Lord. There is no time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
There is no time to be hiding your sin.
Mm-hmm.
My holy fire is here, and you are to repent. You are to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Yield to my spirit. Listen to me. Raise your hands to me.
Mm-hmm.
Be transparent. Forget about what your neighbor is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You expose yourself, your heart to me, and I will purify you, and I will raise up my chosen generation, for I have called you from your mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
appointed out of darkness into my marvelous light to do mighty exploits in my name.
Mm-hmm.
But no flesh will glory in my presence, says
mm-hmm.
the Lord. No flesh will glory. Let my fire burn within you and purify you, that you might be that beautiful bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Humble yourself, says the Lord, in my sight, and I will lift you up into the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
I will take you up into the heavens, and you will rule and reign with me, far above principalities
mm-hmm.
and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in the heavenly places. You will rule and reign with a scepter of deliverance over the nations,
mm-hmm.
says the Lord. And I am coming to equip my people even now, says the Lord. You don't yield to me, and I cannot do the work. Yield to me, says the Lord, and I will do great and mighty things which thou dost not know,
mm-hmm.
which you don't even know.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.